In these concluding minutes, there's just a few things that we wanted to highlight in by way of suggestions in the spiritual realm. And those of you that have had a long and intimate walk with God will not find anything new. The fact is, there really are no shortcuts. There are no tricks of the trade. You have to learn the trade. You have to spend time with God. And so taking care of folks as a physician and then as a pastor and hopefully as the Lord leads me here, there's some things that are just helpful to know. Talking to God. One of the most revolutionary things for patients was to find out that while they had rage toward God, it was perfectly fine to express it. Didn't surprise God at all. They just needed to let it fly. There are some psalms that I could direct people to, Psalm 22, Psalm 13, a number where the psalmist just rages at God. How long, O God, will you forget me forever? And some days that may be exactly where you feel. How long will I take counsel in my heart, having sorrow in my soul all the day? And it's okay. And now in that particular psalm, in six verses, he's praising God. And, you know, I wish it were so that it's only a six-verse kind of pain. It may be a six-year or a 10-year kind of a process for you. But it is okay to talk to God. The number of patients said, I can't talk to God. I'm so mad at him. That's precisely when you need to go and talk to him, because he's the only one that can comfort your soul. Meditation has become, in our society of speed, a lost art, where you just sit and think. You will, like Sandy, I believe, find in Scripture the Spirit-inspired answers to the needs of your heart. It may take some time, but it will be worth it. And God will apply that truth to you. You will discover it. And as you think and meditate on it, he may bring it to mind at just the right moment to help you or to help you help others. Silence. Where has that gone? Those of you that are in my class know that I'm pretty big on not only talking to God, but shut up and let him talk to you. Listen, learn how to hear the voice of God. And we don't take time for it, man. We rip through our Bible study. We tell God all the things we need for the day, and bam, we're out there to serve him. When it's my opinion that he really wants to relate to you in such a way that we are too busy to understand and to experience the love that he has for us and the joy that we can. Solitude. This is one of those issues where you'll need some time alone, and you and spouse will need some time alone, and that's okay. You don't have to. Well, I've had perfect attendance for 20 years. I'm going to go to church and sing in the choir on Mother's Day. Maybe that's not the best thing for you. Maybe that day is a time for you and spouse or alone to just work through that with God. I'm convinced that God has placed us here to encourage one another. And to find someone with a tender heart towards your issue may be to find someone who's walked that same valley, or to just someone who has such a close walk with the Lord that they have a real gift of empathy. Those are the people I hope you find someone or have someone like that. Not everyone is, and let's not take it personally when we're not the answer to everyone's problems. But to have a friend or a spiritual guide, someone who's maybe a bit more mature in the faith or who's walked through this valley and can look back. Because you really can't see it when you're in the middle of it. When you are riding that roller coaster and the doctor says, what we need to do this month is this, you just say, fine. Because you think if you disagree with the doctor, you won't get pregnant. Where what you may need is to just say, no, this month is for my spouse and I. We're just out of it for this month, for this time. That may be the healthiest thing. To just take a retreat. Go into the woods. Go to the lake. Go to the river. Go somewhere and just rest your soul. The scripture, I believe, is God's word to us. It's a revelation. Find a translation and a text that is understandable and spend some time in a methodical study. If you don't know where to start, ask one of us. We can. Once we know where you are in the process, we can maybe help you. And let me again encourage you to plug into a faith community, a place that the worship engages you and meets the needs of your soul. And if you're not sure where, then try some places. Talk to some of the folks here as to where they're caring, compassionate people that will love you and let you have those bad days and rejoice with you in the good days. These aren't deep, hidden secrets, but most of the people I know in pastoral ministries have neglected these, so I'm guessing that most of the rest of us have too. So make these things, in my mind, a matter of priority, because if your soul is at rest with the Lord, you will find peace even in the midst of this enormous tribulation. What does God want from us? We talked about who he was, who he is, and what he's done. What he wants is holy lives. He wants us to walk in the way that he would have us to walk and to worship him in spirit and truth, to give him thanks and to give him praise, and then to not only love him, but to love one another in a sacrificial kind of way. And if you have been loved that way, you know what I'm talking about. And if you've been loved that way, then I hope you've learned how to do that to others. Because if you're a husband, wife in this situation, boy, you need to learn how to love that way, even when you don't understand, even when you don't get the hormones or the file drawers or any of that stuff, to just say, what is important to you is what I desire to do. So we started and we end the same way. We want you to be connected and know that if you're in the midst of this, you're not alone. I hope you've noticed that some of our future preachers and counselors cared enough to spend their Saturday to learn about this so they can help. Because they've heard me talk about pastors that stand up and say, not knowingly, but saying the most hurtful things on Mother's Day or Father's Day. They want to do well. So take advantage of that. Encourage them. Share with them what's been meaningful to you, what's been helpful. And we thank you together for your time today. We recognize that it is a sacrificial gift to us. We want to conclude appropriately and on time. With these last couple of minutes, if you would be kind enough, if you would write on another piece of paper just any suggestions for us that might make the next conference better. Things that we spent too much time on, things that we spent too little time on, areas that you thought were really helpful, or maybe a way to do the presentation that you think would be more effective. And if you'll take a few minutes before you do that, let me just, if you don't mind, give me the pastoral permission to just say a benediction for us, and then we'll be dismissed. Sandy and I will remain up here for a few minutes if you have a question that we haven't addressed, or if you just want to meet us, we'd like that too. So join me with just a moment of prayer. Father, we're grateful for the day. We started this morning with prayer and expectation, and my hope and heart's desire is that your Spirit met the needs of those that you drew here, that we leave this place encouraged and uplifted, perhaps learn some things we didn't know, but especially that we saw you glorified, that your love was manifest in this place. Bless these, your children, Father. Let your face shine upon them and grant them your peace. I ask in the name of your Son, my Savior. Amen. Thank you.